Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Over the course of 2023, we'll be reading from the Gospel of Matthew. And Matthew 5, 6, and 7 contain the most famous sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. It's a sermon about how to live as disciples of Jesus Christ. So obviously it applies to us today. In this section, Jesus tells us that we, his disciples, his followers, are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, which is a great picture, a vivid picture. And you can see why it sticks with people. It's something that people remember. Even people who don't read the Bible have heard about being salt and being light. We still talk about people being the salt of the earth today. What does it mean, though? How can you and I be what Jesus wants us to be, the salt of the earth and the light of the world? Jesus answers that for us today in our text. He shares with us, his disciples, three things. He shares with us our identity. Second of all, he shares our purpose. And third, he shares our hope. Number one, our identity. Our identity is salt and light. Jesus says, Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the world. Notice Jesus doesn't say with hard work you'll become salt. He doesn't say 5 years from now you can be salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. What's that mean? Well, salt today is not worth very much. You can buy a big bag of salt for about 10 bucks at your local store so you can melt your driveway. But in the days of Jesus, salt was not cheap. It was a valuable mineral. So valuable, in fact, that Roman soldiers would sometimes get paid in salt. That's where we get the phrase, hey, he's not worth his salt, when someone's not doing their job, right? Salt was valuable because it was one of the few ways people could preserve food. Those were the days before refrigerators. It was really hard to preserve food in the hot temperatures of the Middle East. Salt works as a preservative to keep food, especially meat, from spoiling and from rotting. The world, because of sin, is rotting away, morally and spiritually. You see it all around you. People are living lives contrary to God's word. More people are ignoring God's command. People are living selfishly, focused only on themselves. You see it all around, the spiritual decline. The world is going rotten. So Christians act as a preservative in the world. As a follower of Jesus, you live a different kind of life. You are taught by the word of Christ, so you know right from wrong. Not only that, you are filled with the spirit of Christ, so you can choose to do right instead of wrong. That's why you are so valuable to the world. You act as a preservative, which is fighting against the rottenness of this world. Now, Colossians 4 also talks about Christians having salt in their speech. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Colossians 4:6. Salt, of course, doesn't just preserve food, it also enhances food. The right amount of salt can really bring the flavor out of food. People love salt. In the same way, through gracious speech, you and I, as salt of the earth, can bring the best out of people. Our speech should be tasteful, full of good things, kind, encouraging, and positive. Now, the world is full of whiners and complainers. God wants us to be salt, seizing our words with thankfulness. The world is full of doom and gloomers, people who always see the worst in every situation. God wants us to season our words with hope, the hope that comes from Jesus Christ. God wants us to be the salt of the earth. That's what we're called to do. Now, light, you are the light of the world. Matthew 5:14. Once again, Jesus isn't saying we can become light. He says, as his disciples, we are the light of the world. Light, of course, I think that's a little bit easier illustration to understand. It gives brightness and warmth. Sin makes the world a dark place. People can't see. They are spiritually blind, stumbling into spiritual darkness. Not you. You know the word of God, the word that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. You can see because you can know the truth. and you share the truth of the scriptures with others because you understand the world we live in, and you have the light, the word of God, that shines in the darkness. Sin makes the world a dark place. Sin makes the world a cold place. People are lonely, cut off from loving relationships. Not you. You know the warmth of God's love. You can share the warmth of God's love with others. You know, on a dark, cold night, is there anything better than gathering around a fire? What does a fire do? It gives light and it gives warmth, doesn't it? That's what God calls us to be. A comforting fire in the midst of a dark and cold world. You, as the light of the world, can love people in the same way that God loves you, with grace, kindness, and forgiveness. With God's love, we can bring brightness and warmth to a dark and cold world. But I know how we Lutherans think. You are already ahead of me. You're already saying, wait a second. You might ask, how are we the light of the world? Isn't Jesus the light of the world? That is a great question, and I'm so glad I asked it. John 8:12 says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus, of course, is the true light of the world, the light that no darkness can overcome. He is the sun, S-U-N, the source of energy, the source of all light, the source of all warmth. We're more like the moon, simply reflecting the sun, the best that we can do with God's help. The moon, when you see it at night, the moon doesn't generate any light. It's just reflecting it. And that's what we do. The moon is brightest when it has its face turned towards the sun. You and I shine brightest when our faces are turned towards the Son of God. The more we look at Jesus, the more we absorb Jesus' light and love in our lives, the more we can reflect his light and his love and his warmth and his kindness and his forgiveness to the world around us. We are reflecting the light of Christ. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world because of what Jesus is doing in you. So number one, our identity is to be salt and light. Our purpose is to do good works. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Jesus tells us his disciples, our identity is salt and light, but he also tells us our purpose to do good works. Now, I find that in today's world, lots of people are struggling with the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? What's the meaning of life? Does life have any purpose? Do I have any purpose? Jesus' answer is yes, a definitive yes. You have a definite purpose in life, and you need to know what that is. Your purpose in this life, according to Jesus, right here in Matthew chapter 5, is to do good whenever you can, wherever you can. Let your light shine, that others may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven. Jesus wants you to go out and do good in this world. Now, there's lots of ways to do that, but that's what Jesus wants you to do. He wants you to go out and do good. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians chapter 2. We know Ephesians 2 because it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not because of works, so that no one can boast. And that's such an important verse. But the verse right after that tells us why we were created. Ephesians 2:10 says, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's what you're made to do. That's why when you do good things for other people, you feel a sense of fulfillment and purpose. Think about it. When do you feel most fulfilled? Like you are doing what you're supposed to do on this earth. I'll bet it's when you help someone or care for someone or make a difference in someone's life. The reason you feel that way is because it's literally what you were made for. It's what God created you for. You are God's unique masterpiece. That's what workmanship means. You're God's unique masterpiece created to do good works that he especially created for you to do. So which good work should we do? Well, that's always a question. And that's what the majority of the Sermon on the Mount is really about. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, is teaching about the Ten Commandments, and he sums up the commandments in one word, which is love. If Jesus says the best thing we can do is summed up in two phrases, love God and love people. Love God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Jesus says this is the first and greatest commandment, Matthew 22, 37 and 38. The first and most important thing we can do in the entire world is to love God. Our relationship with God comes first. That makes sense since the Bible tells us that God is love and therefore God is the source of all real love in this world. If we want to know what love is, the better we get to know God, the better we know and understand what love truly is. If we want to love people, the first thing we need to understand is how much God loves us. 1 John 4 says, we love because he first loved us. God's love for you is wider, longer, higher, and deeper than you can possibly imagine. It's beyond our ability to even imagine. But the more you understand God's love for you, the easier it becomes for you to do the second most important thing in the world, which is to love people. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. The world, as I said before, is a cold and lonely place. So many people are lonely, so many people feel unloved. They're left alone in the cold and darkness of sin. We know what real love looks like because we know what God's love for us looks like. What we can do is be the moon or be the fireplace on a cold winter night, reflecting God's love in a cold and dark world, loving people the same way God loves us. Now, love, that's not a feeling, it's a verb, it's an action word, it's something you do. Love is doing what's best for another person. It's serving other people, meeting their needs, and helping them the best you can. In other words, being like Jesus, who is always going around helping people and putting others first and being kind and being forgiving. The world needs more of that kind of love, and that's what you and I are called to do, to love God, to love people. That's how we can be salt of the earth and light of the world. Our identity is salt and light. Our purpose is to love God and to love people. But our hope is Jesus Christ. We are created to do good works, but we're not saved by our good works. Our hope is not in our good works. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:17 says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Our love so many times falls short. We want to do good, but end up doing something self-centered, self-absorbed, and just plain selfish. We don't love God. We don't put him first in our lives. We don't love other people the way God wants us to. We are sinful and imperfect people. But here's the good news. Our hope is not in our goodness. Our hope is not in our good works. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. You and I can't keep the law of God perfectly. As we look through the Sermon on the Mount and see what Jesus, his demands of the law, we realize we can't keep those perfectly. We're sinful and imperfect people. But Jesus kept the law perfectly for us. Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law for us. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. How did he do that? By living a perfect life and then dying on a cross. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, by hanging on a tree, by hanging on the tree of the cross. He took the punishment for all of our sins. So we have nothing to fear from the law because Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law for us. By dying for our sins, Christ made it possible for sinful, imperfect people like us to be forgiven and go to heaven. Through Christ fulfilling the law for us, we have been given the free gift of eternal life. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us about our identity. Who are we? We are salt and light. He tells us our purpose, and that is to do good works. And he tells us our hope. And our hope is not in ourselves. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, the one who has fulfilled the law, and the one who has saved us to life everlasting. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.